We've been in Colossians. It's been a blessing. How many have enjoyed being in Colossians? It's kind of like being whooped into obedience. And the Holy Spirit is challenging us at every turn. And today is no different. As a matter of fact, it's a touchy subject that I want to talk about today, and that's personal and corporate prayer. Personal and corporate prayer. And we like to, you know, everybody's a prayer warrior when it comes to talking about prayer, but what is our personal prayer life really like, and how does that generate into corporate prayer gatherings? Most of the time, you know, if you call a meeting and there's food involved, you get packed. If you call a meeting and there's a free band to listen to, you get packed. You know, but when you call a prayer meeting, you get one or two people to come. So the importance of prayer has been lost somewhere in the shuffle. And how we rectify that, how we change that, is to draw attention to it and say we're going to do better from here on out. So I've always said we can't live in the past. We can't look behind us because past is already gone. If we could reset, I've always said we'd be 8 years old resetting. I can do it better this time. I can do it better this time. I can do it better this time. But that's not the case. The case is we're here and we're looking forward. But the Word of God here in Colossians 4, it challenges us. It presupposes that we're prayers and that the importance of prayer is up on top somewhere. It's not down whenever we can say our prayers just before we go to bed or say our prayers just when we wake up. It's a life of prayer because prayer is our connection with the Lord. And it's a privilege to be able to talk with God. The world has this idea that whenever they cry out to God, God's going to come and rescue them. And while God's mercy and God's grace is upon the just and the unjust, sometimes they can cry all they want, but there's no seriousness about their cry. And prayer is just something that is only used for emergencies. But for us, prayer should be a lifestyle because it's an honorable connection with a tremendous, powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God that created everything. He connects us through His Holy Spirit for us to pray so that He can move. Someone said, without God we cannot, without us He will not. So it's the divine connection. Prayer becomes something of a tow bar where the will of God is brought about by our prayer significantly to God, asking Him specifically for some things. So here in Colossians chapter 4, we're in Colossians 4 and verse 2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. One of the most difficult things in being a Christian is in participating in prayer, both individually and in corporate gatherings. And the word of God is clear to us. It is clear as to the need, command, and the reason to pray. Now, we all know that God set this whole thing up. And I wish sometimes that God would just go ahead and do what He's going to do, and I would be an observer. But how many know God doesn't want us to observe? He wants us to participate. He involves man in His plan of redemption. That's why we're here. You know, if it wasn't, we'd pray with somebody and they'd die. That would be a way to populate heaven. Pray this prayer with me and God bless you and forgive you and forgive your sins and you just die and go to heaven. How many, that would take care of the population explosion problem. But God doesn't do that. God says, now you're saved, now you're serving me, now you're going to join me in the redemptive plan that I have. And in that redemptive plan, you're going to pray. Paul says, pray for me. Well, Paul, you've been called by God. You're a man of prayer. Why do you need my prayers? because God moves on the prayers of the saints. He just does. He set it up that way. God set it up that way. Call any kind of gathering, as I said, that involves entertainment or has the potential to better your life, and you almost always get a turnout. Schedules are canceled or postponed, and the desire to attend will change spending plans, and inconveniences are expected. I watched and partook I was incredulous at the crowd that gathered last year when I went up to Canada, where people stood for 6 hours in line to get into a meeting. Come on, somebody. 6 hours, and it was cold. I told the story about the 80-year-old lady I was standing beside with a cane, and I said, "Do you want to sit down?" She goes, "No, I'm so excited to get inside." She stood there with me for 6 hours. Come on, somebody. If we got that excited about prayer, if we'd spend that 6 or 8 hours in prayer for a day, just one day a week or one day a month, imagine what would happen. But man, when we have meetings or when we have, you know, concerts, we have those kind of things, you can't keep people away. But call a prayer gathering and 1 of 10 people show up. Why? It's not because they're ignorant. It's not because people are saying, it's not because we don't understand the power of prayer. We just don't want to participate in it. Let's get honest. We don't want to participate in it. I don't see the importance of that. My prayers aren't going to make a difference. Let me tell you, your prayers make a difference. Paul is writing to the church of Colossae. He's not writing to just special people. He's writing to the whole church. When he starts this letter, he says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. He's writing to the Christians in the city of Colossae. So he's writing to all of us, and he says, pray for me. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, while you're doing that, pray also for us. When you pray, the word assumes prayer. The call to us is to be people of prayer. The discipline of prayer must be a practice that becomes a lifestyle. If we're to see the move of God that we're all hoping to see, it's going to take our actively involving ourselves in the process. Actively involving ourselves. It starts with private prayer, a routine to challenge yourself. The challenge is difficult, but the results are life-changing and earth-changing. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles this morning, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Underline, when you pray. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, underline, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 7, and when you pray, underline when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Getting alone with God and praying is a presupposition in the New Testament. God presupposes that you're going to pray. And so wherever our prayer life is, if it's languishing, if it's not activating, you're not seeing things you normally would see or want to see or hope you see others maybe have, pray. Be men and women of prayer. Get in your prayer closet. What's that mean? Find a place in the house where you can get alone and cry out to God. And don't put a clock in there. Don't put a watch in there. It's going to work out. God will help you get to work on time. Come on, somebody. private prayer is very important. And I know God is dealing with me. I know God, if he's dealing with me and others that I've talked to, I know that he's dealing with the body of Christ. There's a stirring to continue steadfast in prayer. Because we've did it the other way with activities and conferences and all kinds of things. And how's that working for us? We're virtually disappearing from the marketplace. People don't want to hear it anymore. Marty Sampson, one of the guys that wrote a lot of the Hillsong song. I don't know if you heard this last week, but he's renouncing his faith, walking away from God. Not quite there yet, but he's not quite sure if he wants to serve God or serve his flesh. One of the greatest songwriters in our generation. Come on, somebody. Some of his songs, Oceans, written by Marty Sampson. Stir our hearts, stir our emotions, but walking away from God. Josh Harris, one of the foremost young men that wrote I Kiss Dating Goodbye, walked away from God. He's renounced his faith almost altogether. Might as well say altogether. We have to be men and women of prayer. This is the day that God warned us about. This is the great falling away. This is the apostasy we're living in. Come on, somebody. Now, if you're into timetables of what's going on, you know then it's close to some other things that will happen and ultimately the return of Christ. There's an expediting. There's a quickness that's happening. But this prayer life that you and I are called to pray, and when you pray, and when you pray, Jesus says, and when you pray, it's our prayer life that God is looking at. It's an action that guarantees a return. When we pray, it's an action that guarantees return. Matthew chapter 11. Mark 11, verse 24. Watch what it says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Wow. Come on, somebody. Hello. Are you there? What a promise. Sometimes we read that fast and we go, well, isn't that nice? Watch what it says. It says, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. The promises become elusive when prayer becomes elective. The promises are elusive because prayer is elective and not as it doesn't hold priority with us. And many times people get upset because God is not doing what they think he ought to do. God, now wait a minute. You're God and I'm your child. You're supposed to answer my prayers. Come on, somebody. God says, when's the last time you prayed? Well, you know, a month ago, last month. You remember at the altar in New Life? I prayed. Why aren't you answering his prayer? He says, well, why aren't you praying? Are you there? Yeah. Wouldn't it be neat if the Word of God, maybe when they transcribed the Word from, you know, Greek into English, maybe they took out the phrases that says, if you pray for 5 minutes a day, I'll do this. When you pray for a minute a day, I'll make everything okay. Come on, somebody. Maybe it did that. Maybe this is all. No, God says to seek me, press into me, pray, 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 and I'll choose the time when to answer that prayer. It will be answered. Come on, somebody. The results will multiply as we release our faith. Faith in prayer has enabled us. In the past, when we've went through some tough times, all of us have faced tough times. And when we pray and God answers, we're so amazed. But one of the worst things that could happen here in the United States, most of us are we don't have needs. We're comfortable. If God's not answered prayer, we go watch TV. Come on, somebody. Well, you're not going to answer prayer. I'll go watch, you know, I'll go watch Blue Bloods on TV. I'll binge watch TV. I'll get caught up in that world. Or I'll go do my chore. I'll go do something. Man, press into prayer and watch what God does. How long will it take to see the results? If you got an answer for that, you should be up here preaching. I don't know how long that goes, but God says to pray. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And him who knocks, it will be opened. We were kids. We used to, I was born and raised in a small town, and we used to run up to a door and knock on the door and then run. Bam, 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 and run. You know, go hide in the bushes and watch them come out. And we'd do that until somebody would get us in trouble and we got whooped and we got home. But we did it. Just a casual prayer, the quick prayer between you, your house and work, a quick two-minute prayer. Oh, God, by the way, I need to pay my bills this month. Could you make sure that my manager sees me and gives me a raise? Amen. That's like running up to the door of heaven and knocking and running away. God says, come in, sup with me, talk with me. Sometimes prayer is just sitting there listening to the Holy Spirit. How many believe that the Holy Spirit is not shy? He'll speak what needs to be spoke. We have to get that place to want to listen. See, prayer is a two-way street. Not only us barraging heaven with a list of musts, it's sitting, listening to heaven of what they deem necessary. What the Godhead says is important. We spend time praying and pontificating, and we've got a list of things, and you can almost hear God says, wait, I'll take care of all that. That's all taken care of. You have to worry about, here's what I want you to pray. Here's what I want you to do. This is what I want you to talk to me about today. And then, for those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we begin to speak in our prayer language to God, and the Holy Ghost is praying perfectly through us and enacting things in heaven. Angels are being dispatched. Things are happening because we're praying in the will of God. But we're praying because heaven has decided without prayer ain't nothing going to happen. And we see the results of lack of prayer all around us. The church has been involved in criticizing and having our secret meetings, you know. Psst, hey, well, how would you like to come to the secret meeting we're having on Sunday morning? A bunch of Christians getting together. Well, we need to be Christians out there too. And it's praying. Luke 11:2. He said to them, when you pray, I love that, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The other part of prayer that I want to talk about is the authority that we have when we pray. Calling things as not that are not as though they were. We shouldn't be whiny children before the Father. Hey, Father, did you forget that this was not? No, we speak in authority in prayer. Expectation creating lasting change. Looking forward with purpose. Come on, looking forward with purpose. We begin to cry out to God with purpose. God, in the name of Jesus, I speak Rochester. Revival in Rochester. I pray, I speak revival in our city offices. I pray revival in our court. I pray revival in our teachers. I pray revival at the school. Begin to confess before God what you see with your spiritual eyes and watch it happen. Want to see an area change? We have to be people of prayer. Continue steadfastly, the Word of God says, in prayer. Forgetting what is behind and forgiving those that may have insulted you or doing whatever, and getting on with the process of prayer. God is doing something, functioning in such a way that in these last couple of months, I've seen a big shift in churches looking more to the corporate church in the city than just our four walls. I'm with about five or six men, a couple, three times a month. We're crying out to God. We're recognizing that God is doing something corporately in the church in each city. Come on, someone. We're beginning to understand that there's unity in prayer. What we're trying to get to is a place where, do you remember in Acts chapter 2, they were all in one place, in one accord, in one mind, and everybody had deodorant on, you know. And they cried out to God, and the place shook under the power of God. Unity in the city brings God's favor and blessing as we cry out to Him. Why do we pray? In your outline, Roman numeral 2, why you pray. You pray for things, blessings, and our life becomes less of a priority about praying for others. Prayer for the word preached will become the reality seen. We begin to pray that people see. We pray for others, and Christians would be activated to see that God is on our side in prayer. Prayer is not a worthless or a helpless time. Prayer is an authoritative discussion that we're having and hearing from heaven that absolutely changes the circumstances around us. Come on, somebody. All that other stuff that we cry out to God about in our short little prayer, when we pontificate to God, God, give me what I need to live. Give me health. Give me all. God says, I've taken care of all those things. Let's talk about what I want to do strategically in your life to affect others. Come on, somebody. 2 Kings chapter 6. Turn there. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll wait for you. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And when you're there, you're smiling at me. It might be up on the screen, but look on your devices or your Bible. Actually, underline some things. Therefore, he sent horses in verse 14 and chariots and a great army there. And they came up by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Let me do a little bit of comparison here. Elijah is a type of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit knows what we're up against. But if you talk to Christians today, we're surrounded by the enemy. Christian bakers are not allowed to bake cakes. Oh my goodness. Christians aren't allowed to pray in school. Christians aren't allowed to, you know, do this. They're taking the Ten Commandments out of City Square. They're doing all kinds of terrible things. We're surrounded by the enemy. And Holy Spirit says, open their eyes that they may see that many more are with us than are with them. They're surrounded by demonic hordes. But my Bible says 2/3 chase the third out. Now, I wasn't very good in math in school, but I think that two-thirds are more than one-third. Am I right? Many more are with us. So we're in our prayer closet, we're in a prayer meeting. We need to see that God sends heavenly hosts with us when we pray. We dispatch angels when we pray. Holy Spirit dispatches the hosts of heaven to stand with us when we pray. Come on, somebody. But man, to hear some Christians, you get on that Facebook, which is more of a scourge than anything else, is beginning to be. Come on. And people are talking, oh, woe is me. Oh, my God, look at what the enemy's doing. He's taking away all our freedoms. It's time. The end is near. Come on, man. We are leaving this church. We are leaving this earth victoriously. Not with our tail between our legs. Oh, my God, rescue me. God, help me. Where is that in the Word? Elijah was a type of the Holy Spirit that spoke to his servant. He prayed and he said, open the eyes of my servant. Watch what he saw. Lord, I pray, open his eyes. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Man, God has got it all sewn up. He's not recruiting angels. He's not amassing an army. His army is already there and at our beck and call. When we pray, God sends the fire. But we must pray. Not only praying for others, but praying for dominion. Heaven assists us when we pray. Praying a canopy of God's kingdom over us. Praying victorious living experience, not conjectured. I mean, I make fun a little bit. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I really don't. But I hear so many Christians complaining about, what are you complaining about? Man, we have eternal life. God's promised us all the blessings. What in the world are we... Some of the songs that are popular now. Oh, I've been through hell, and I know that if I could just get it to heaven, I'm going to be happy. Come on, somebody. Attacks are part of the life that we have. Nobody's going to come to you and say, attacks are going to end if you pray. Matter of fact, attacks are going to grow when you pray. Well, we have authority. Come on, somebody. We have the authority. Prayer for dominion. Praying victorious living. 2 Corinthians 4:16, listen to what it says. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Come on, somebody. God spent a lot of energy making sure that we are surrounded by His glory. We need to pray for change of focus. Number three, prayer for change of focus. Don't worry about the temporal. Do warfare for the spirit realm. Change what you're looking at. Look at the unseen. Don't worry about the seen. God said He would take care of the seen. The things around us are ineffective to alter what is in us. The invisible realm takes on a whole new reality. Anybody know the story about FedEx? The FedEx symbol? Could you put that up? FedEx symbol. Anybody see the arrow in the FedEx symbol? Right between the E and the X. See it? Once you see it, you'll never look at FedEx without the arrow. Everybody see it? It's right here between the E and the X. Right there. But it's invisible to most people that look at it, have never seen the arrow. Because it's part of the lettering. But you'll never see a FedEx sign again without seeing that arrow. Everybody see it? If you don't see it, raise your hand. See it? Everybody see it? We need to see the invisible. Only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. The enemy has played with us way far too long in the things that are seen being more important and powerful than the things that are unseen. We need to put an end to it. I'm not going to buy the enemy's lie anymore. I don't care how many people look like they are against me. There are more with me than are against me. Because all the hosts of heaven stands around a child of God. The Word of God puts it this way. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear Him. God's got you covered. Come on, someone. The invisible realm takes on a whole new reality when we begin to see the power of God is waiting to back our every word when it's mixed with faith. Roman numeral 3 in your notes, the mystery of Christ. Paul says in verse 3, he says, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. The mystery of all creation has been open to every one of us, every believer. We can only see it through the eyes of faith, the mystery of Christ, the one that died for everyone. Don't give up on anyone. It's never too late. You cannot allow the world seen to affect the kingdom unseen. You can't allow it. And you need to change the way you look at things and how you look at them. Faith reaches the realms of glory to unlock the hidden things of the kingdom. The mystery of Christ. He makes all things new. Makes all things new. He said in Mark 4:11 to his disciples and to us, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Don't get frustrated when the world doesn't see what we see. Of course they don't. They can't see the invisible because they live in a visible world and they're full of sin, just like you and I were before we accepted Christ. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, he must be preaching to you. It's what we don't see that empowers us. I don't know. I've listened to a lot of modern day Christians that say they see angels and Jesus comes and sits across the table and talks to them. And yeah, I don't know about all that. I haven't never seen an angel. Well, I can't say that. I had an experience where I didn't know it was an angel, but I think it was an angel. But I've never seen the angels, you know, with the standing 9 foot tall. And I've been told they've been here. Some people have come and said they were here in a meeting, and I was in a meeting in Pakistan, and we had armed guards everywhere we went in Pakistan. So we hired this company, and this company had the guy that was head of the team. It was four guys, so he was the head of the four guys, and you know, he was Mr. Tough Guy, and he wasn't a Christian. He was a nice guy, but he wasn't a Christian. But he was tough, and so he's sitting back. We're meeting in this square, in this open square, because Christians aren't. How many know Christians aren't very accepted in Pakistan? So we didn't have a building that was available to us, so we met in this open square. And this guy's sitting in the back, kind of being the tough guy guard, you know. And all of a sudden, he runs up to the platform, and he starts to jump and shout and just twirl around, and he falls down. His gun falls out. And the evangelist was with me. John Shiver reaches down, grabs the pistol, and hands it to me. And you know, we helped this guy up to sit down, and he's like out of it the rest of the time. The other three guys got to take care, you know. He's out of it the whole time. So after the meeting, we talked to him, and he said he looked up and he saw angels standing on the platform, 9-10 foot tall angels, full on the platform. Come on, somebody. How many know he got saved right there? He saw the invisible. He saw the invisible. We need to see the invisible. We need to believe, God, even if we can't see with our physical eyes, God, you always got me covered. You always got me surrounded. You always got me taken care of. You're going to take care of everything that pertains to me because I'm valuable to you in this generation. When it's time to go home, we'll go home. Don't worry about what tomorrow holds. God's going to take care of us. Romans 16:25 says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. By that revelation of the mystery comes great responsibility. When you're able to see the invisible, you're responsible. By eyes of faith, we see the invisible. We know how this ends. Christ is victorious. Now, to him who is able to establish, that establish means to make strong and immovable, unable to be shaken. There are times coming, I wish they weren't. I wish I could tell you that we're going to circumvent all that. There are times coming that will shake everything that can be shaken. But we will not be shaken if we keep our eyes on the invisible. Spiritual giants just don't happen. They are planned. Stand against the enemy. Having made known to us, Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Let me move very quickly in closing so the hot dogs are still in good shape. Fellowship in the mystery, fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, and intercourse. The fellowship of the mystery talked about in Ephesians 3:9. And to make all things, make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery in Jesus Christ. When we come together in prayer, staying away from fellowship when God is speaking corporately is detrimental and hinders the growth of this house. I want to get picky a little bit. Is that all right? Most people don't know after my name is step on toes. I have a degree in it. So I'm going to step on your toes. If God is doing something in New Life, and that is what he purposed for sending me here and why you're here, he's doing something in New Life so we can participate in this great ingathering that's coming. Corporate words that come mean that we corporately are here. Make every effort to be here, to hear. We're not just we're just not shouting from the front. So you have something, you said, well, I heard a sermon today. We're going through books of the Bible and hearing from God together. So if you have to miss a service, get online and find out what God is saying. There's some place he's taking us. Now that means reaching down and saying, no matter what I have to do, I'm going to be there for the corporate gatherings. I don't know what happened to our generation, but it's just down on the priority list, and I don't get it. It's not just because I do this for a living. When I wasn't doing it for a living, I understood that if I connected myself with the local church, I'm there because God is guiding and leading us. It's not just arbitrary messages coming that's thrown out to make us feel good. It's a marching order. Otherwise, why are we here? If I just, all I wanted to do was hear a good message, I could stay at home and in my shorts and listen to YouTube. Plenty of good messages out there. Come on, somebody. And a lot of this generation is doing that because they've not seen the effectiveness of moving ahead and watching things change. So corporately, we've got to come together. I'm not doing that just so I can say there's people come to listen. That's not it at all. That's not the intent. Whoever is here sharing, there's a purpose and a plan, and the footsteps of God are hopefully we're obeying him so that we're going somewhere. Everybody okay? So here are prayer points that we're going to pray. Now, I was away this week. So when God gave me this, I just have it on paper. I think I've got some of it in the notes. I'm not sure if I do. Prayer points that I'm going to ask that everybody pray about. Listen, prayer is so very important. And I don't want to, look, I'm just going to say, the last time we had, God's moved on pastors to have corporate prayer once a month. Corporate prayer meetings once a month. It's not just so we can get together and say, hey, we joined together in prayer. We had prayer the last time there were two people from New Life that showed up. I can't tell you the importance it is that you come. Why do I have to be physically here in a building? I'll pray at home. Because there's something about being all together in one place, in one mind, in one accord, when God pours out His Spirit and changes lives. And that's what we're after. Come on, somebody. I know I'm asking a lot. Well, I'm busy. So, change your plans. Come on, somebody. Priority comes up when we say, God, you want to move in a powerful way? I'm there. I'm with you. So here's prayer points that I'm asking everybody to pray. If it's not in your notes, let me see one of the notes. Am I doing that? Yeah, I've got them right there. Okay. Number one, salvations. Begin to pray. If you haven't been, begin to pray pointedly for the lost, the prodigal, and the backslider. 1 Timothy 2:3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's not one person in here that doesn't have loved ones or close friends that don't know Jesus. Man, spend some time praying for them. Get in your prayer closet and pray. We pray for salvations. Number two, we pray for church growth. Pray for new life. We're not praying for people to come just so we could be full. That's not it at all. We're praying so people can be saved and their lives changed. So we're praying for number one, we need high impact families that can come help us minister to those that are coming through the door. We have plate spinners in this church. You remember the old circus act that they used to spin the plates on the pole and the next one would spin it. And he did like 10 of them. He'd run back to the beginning. And anybody ever see that? You know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Plate spinners. We have plate spinners at New Life, but they need help. So we pray. And don't be surprised if you're praying and God says it's you that's going to help spin plates. Oh, that means I got to come early. Yeah. Means I got to stay late. Yeah. But watch what happens when we begin to affect families and this community. We need to pray for youth and children. Big surprise. We just got broadsided here about two and a half months ago. We lost our youth. We lost our youth leader. So big deal. What, do we lick our wounds? No. Forgetting those things that are behind, we press on. God still called us to minister to the youth in the community. We're going to have lots of chances for you to volunteer. The youth center that we're opening on 6th and Main is going to hopefully be open sometime in September, 1st of October at the latest. We're looking for a youth director right now. If you've not seen the ad out there, if you know anybody who's interested that has some experience there, I believe the salary is $26,000 for the first year. And we'll see after that. We've raised enough money to stay open for 3 years without any more commitments. Isn't that great? That's powerful. And so, yeah. So, and it's pointed to the young people that need to get off the streets and have something to do. New Life, same way. Look at our building, man. Look at the grounds we have. We have 8 acres of property. We've got a gymnasium. That's why we're starting Upward Sports. Let's start facilitating what we have. Come on, somebody. Come on. My grandparents had the best living room in the whole world. The they had the most beautiful couch. I don't know where they found it, but it was beautiful. And then a wingback chair. Then he had this overstuffed chair with the thing you put your foot, ottoman. Yeah, it was beautiful. Oh, man. It was all covered with plastic. It was all covered with plastic. And when you came in the house, you could look, but you couldn't walk in that room. Because, I mean, it's the first thing you saw if you came to visit. Man, that's a beautiful room. Yeah, nobody sits there. God has given us a beautiful facility. We're less than $50,000 away to having ownership of this whole place. Are you there? You're not listening to me. We've been so blessed. Less than 8 people from the city of Rochester come here. Come here. I'm not talking about Rochester addresses. I'm talking less than 8 people from the city of Rochester come here. We have no impact in that city right across the street. Let's begin to pray for impact. Come on, somebody. Come on, someone. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We need to see people saved and come into church. We need to disciple them and mentor them and grow them and have them come and get rid of drugs and get rid of broken lifestyles. Come on, somebody. God's favor needs to be on new life. We're moving into a new realm. It's a new day. Forgetting those things that are behind, we press on. Number 3, pray for regional awakening. Churches continuing to unite. Apostolic influence. The last 3 or 4 months, I've come in touch with apostles and prophets that I never heard of before. We've been praying together and joining together on Zoom and online. I've been invited September to go to a gathering of about 80 apostles and prophets. They're coming together in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have an invitation to go there. Just talk with the board about it on Sunday. It's going to cost about $700. If you'd like to donate to that, we could use that. We're a little bit tight right now. But however I got to get there, I know I'm supposed to be there. Apostolic influence, fivefold ministry influence is coming upon. I'm having conversations with guys that are not Spirit-filled that want to be Spirit-filled. Pastors that are interested in signs, wonders, and miracles. There's a whole shift taking place. And I'm sure that all of us sense that in one degree or another. But we need to pray for regional awakening. One of the mistakes that we made in the past in America is a church gets filled with the power of God, which should be every church. Smithton Outpouring. It's in Smithton, Missouri. They only had one hardware store and a Coke machine. Pastor leaves, he goes to a meeting, he comes back, he goes into the meeting, there's about 150 people there, he begins to jump up and down and shout, the Spirit of God hits, and thousands of people from all over the world come there. There are people that drove, the nearest hotel was like 10 miles away. They had meetings twice a day, every day for years. Smithton Outpouring. Come on, somebody. And people came from literally halfway around the world to come to these meetings. It was back in the 90s. How many know God wants to do that to every church? He wants to fire up a region. He wants to fire up the first century church went and prophesied and prayed for and ministered to the world, and all the world was saved before the first 100 years. All the world heard the gospel. Not maybe all were saved, but all heard the gospel. How many know we've got some things? We need to pray for fivefold ministries emerging. We need to pray for the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. We need to pray for signs, wonders, and miracles. And we need to pray that you would begin to move into miraculous. You know, instead of the story being, you know, I went to Kroger just in time for the can sale. I got a can of tomatoes for 25 cents. You know, instead of that, you go to the Kroger and say, man, somebody was in a wheelchair and they walked out with me. You need to move in the miraculous. See, I've never done that before. It's the first time for everything. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. Hebrews 2:4. Fourthly, we need to pray for one another. Praying for training and teaching others. Relational accountability. Let's begin to hold each other accountable to the things that we say that we are. Come on, someone. That means everyone. It's okay. The hot dogs are still fine. Give me 5 more minutes. Heard we got hot dogs and chicken. Somebody went for the chicken. So, a little surprise there. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We need to be a family again. More so than we've ever been. Come on, somebody. We become so socially inept because, you know, families on, our real families on this thing right here, you know. Oh, you know, somebody I never met before said my post was okay. I feel so blessed. Oh, you're such a friend. Come on, we need to be a family. We need to be, if you don't see somebody for a Sunday, pick up the phone and call them. Hey, man, I missed you on Sunday. I just want to let you know I love you and I missed you. Ephesians 1:16, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We ought to pray for this. We prayed for this a couple months ago. This should be a prayer for all of us all the time. Ephesians 1:16 through 19, you can read it later. It goes on to say, the hope of the glory, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, in my brother, in my sister. Pray the prayer list or the phone list. Pray about each and every one. My heart was so blessed and filled when I was gone this week. Kent Steininger texted me a couple times and said, man, I'm praying for you. This is what I sense God is doing. And man, I felt the presence of God in those prayers. So lifted up and so blessed. Come on, somebody. It only takes a little bit, especially in today's world of texting. I've been praying to lose weight in my fingers so I don't have to, you know, every time I do a sentence, I've got to redo it because it comes out. I wanted to say, I love you and miss you. It comes out. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant us according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. We're praying for one another. And number 5, now what I'm doing is I'm having this all made up on a card that will be suitable for you to stick into your Bible and pray. And I'm counting on you to pray with me all the time. If we can do this thing consistently for 30 days, it will change the face of our church. Amen. Consistently for 30 days. How many can say, man, I want to give it the best Boy Scout effort to pray and see things change? Number 5, we're praying for atmospheric change. We want to dethrone principalities that have been ruling far too long in Fulton County. The religious spirit needs to go in Fulton County. Principalities and powers need to come down. We need to pray for the lordship of Christ in our offices, in our county offices, in our city offices. We need to pray for the lordship of Christ in our leaders and holiness in the church. Now, how can we say that we love God when we have people in the church that are living together and living in all kinds of sin? I hear those stories and I go, where is the church? God set the standard. There's a standard to live for God. Now, I understand about love and all of that. We have to love people. But how many know if you've been coming to church for 10 years and you're still messing around? You need somebody, so we need to pray for atmospheric change, which changes the churches. The church needs to become beautiful again. So the community says, whatever's happening there, that's where I want to be. The gathering in of the prodigal, the backslider, and the lost. I believe that day is upon us. And I'm asking, I've been as honest as I could be during this mess. I definitely have stepped on some toes. But I've stepped on my own all week. I need to make prayer a priority. It's not that I don't pray. Prayer has not been a priority. I've been involved in the community. I have meetings that I go to. One of the things I'm thanking God for, that when I get to heaven, there'll be no meetings. No meetings. So I need to make prayer a priority, just like you do. And believe me, we're doing everything we can to do that. That's what I'm asking you. Am I asking you, is it going to be an inconvenience? Most certainly. Come on, somebody. Most certainly. Am I asking for a lifestyle change? You better believe I am. But we need to hold each other accountable in love. You know, meet outside of these walls. Pray for one another. Now you don't even have to leave your house. You get FaceTime. FaceTime with somebody. Man, let's pray. Pastor said, pray for this. Let's pray together and watch things happen. Amen? Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your willingness to stay with us, even through the rebellious times that have happened in the church as of late, God. You are so powerful to stay with us and love us and minister to us. Father, we thank you for that. We're always and forever grateful for what you're doing. God, now, Lord, we come up another notch in our faith, God. We believe we can be men and women of prayer. We may not have been up till now, but we can't do anything about what yesterday. From here forward, God, we purpose in our hearts, purpose in our minds, and in our spirits that we're going to be men and women of prayer. And we'll see things change. God, we'll see things change individually. We'll see things change corporately for New Life. Most importantly, we'll see things change in our community. Father, that we might see the power of God. We might see your power ruling and reigning in Fulton County. God, we call things as not as though they were. We pray, God, for a great outpouring of your Spirit. And Lord, we want to participate in that. So we thank you for the strength and the power and the anointing and the authority to do what you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.